Okay, Priya. So here I am now, and this path of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, I have, as many of my friends and God brothers, God sisters have experienced quite a lot. And, I think we've got something to share, so I will do it in my own way here. And, one thing is, I'm just now looking at a documentary about Spain history, and Franco, and fascism, and socialism. But then how many people saw, beginning of 20th century, that the Catholic Church was there ruling with a few little leaders, controlling people, exploiting people. It's all about do as we say or you go to hell. And yes, control, money, power. Which, of course, is one of the reasons why the communists, when it came, rejected religion. I don't think so much because of philosophical, theological disagreements that there is a soul and there is a God, the way we discuss it here, but more socially, politically. And of course, then we get these standard views that nothing has caused more war in the world than religions. Which is an interesting statement, because I would say that nothing has caused more wars in the world than greed. And pride. Hunger for power and profits. And it is that which infected religions and unfortunately easily does so. So, interestingly, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, when he came to the West, started writing his books. he was sometimes talking about this, that the ideas behind communism, socialism, are good in the sense that it's about cooperating, win-win, fairness, not exploiting, and everyone gives according to their ability, excess they have, and gets according to their needs. And he said that this is also the principle behind what he calls spiritual communism, actual spiritualism, where God is at the center and we all are God's children and should help each other and see each other as a family and establish Dharma, which means that win-win, harmonious, fair, balanced, secure, healthy society. So, in other words, the rejection of God because God's name was misused, abused, is a fault in itself. So, although, of course, one can understand why, it's a reaction against something that is wrong. One then has to examine that reaction to see if it holds up or if it has another fault, or maybe the same fault in it, but from another angle. So I find that interesting. I want to talk about that more here because, well, Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized this, spoke a lot about this Dharma. Now, what I want to talk about today is this problem that can appear there, that people who have bad experience of some religious group or whatever, or the way that religion has been used and abused, they then become so emotionally, I mean rightly so, hurt that they reject everything about religion. Even spirituality, or I don't believe in God anymore, I don't believe in the soul. Here comes rational modern science as a welcome savior, an alternative, where those problems are removed. And well, I have seen the same thing, and this is why I want to talk about it today. In modern times, in members of this Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON, the Krishna Conscious Movement, when we joined it back in the 70s. Some of us worked very dedicated, very hard. Incredible. Making great personal sacrifices. And yes, because the movement was young, didn't have any qualified, experienced leaders, and all kinds of people joined from our enthusiastic recruitment campaigns. There were, of course, leadership problems. Devotees were treated badly, exploited, not properly taken care of. Sent out on endless collection campaigns, money by all means. The usual thing. So yes, we saw the power and profit temptation. In fact, this movement as well. Surprise, surprise. I mean, it's more a rule than an exception. So we need to deal with it. But then, and I have personal friends and I don't want to have anything to do with Krishna and all of that Vaishnava, Hare Krishna thing, because they were badly treated and have many bad memories. Of course, what then tends to happen in religious groups, I'm talking in general because it's good to learn and analyze realistically to avoid pitfalls. Is that and there is some leadership that is unqualified and hurts other subordinate members like that. They will, of course, leave or even get kicked out because they are daring to raise their voices and criticize a leader. And the only ones who remain are those faithful to that said leader, who will then continue upholding and protecting, they think valiantly so, heroically so, the good reputation of their movement and their leader, their church, their whatever. Otherwise, what will happen? Everything will fall apart. Some they see it as their first and foremost mission in life. And then, yes, we find it next step. We've seen it in several of those movements we call cults, where some warrior types take it upon themselves to defeat the evil ones, even by violence. So anyway, what else is new? But I would say, and the reason I'm talking about it is not to criticize any specific group or organization, but to show how it is there, visible. I would say probably in all religions and even political groups, whatever. It's just group psychology. So then, what easily can happen then is that they uphold something that they think is the only absolute truth, but which is really just another power profit structure, or tradition, basically existing to honor itself, thinking it's the only bona fide version of that religion or whatever that exists, and therefore it should be protected by all means. And then we have the other camp, which is always there also, those who simply love the truth and care more for it, the teachings, the actual spiritual path that each and everyone should learn how to walk. We love all of that more than organizations, power structures, institutions, and so on, which of course are created in order to serve that higher purpose. But when they don't anymore, but rather serve some other interests, then what do such people do? Well, they become free thinkers. That's a word even that came from that. Free tänkare, we call it in Swedish, which then some came to see as being a heathen, a bad one, an atheist. And of course some again became that, atheists, doubters. Like we took example of communist socialism. But I would say that those who simply love the truth, to understand the knowledge, to actually walk that path, not just sit on the thrones, being worshipped as if walking that path. Well, they may not be walking much of a path at all anymore. But those who actually do that, and who are, yes, you can recognize them on that, ready, willing, and able to sacrifice comfort, finances, reputation, whatever, even their lives. We find many examples of in history for upholding and teaching and protecting that living spiritual path and the knowledge and the, first of all, the living on of that knowledge, not just being scripturally learned, but actually living in tolerance, compassion, forgiveness, honesty, fairness, as friends and servants of all others, which is really the living knowledge, the proof of who is a spiritually advanced person. Not just a title or a dress or a throne. They are the ones who it all ultimately depends on, whether this tradition, in this case our Gaudiya mission, Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, will survive, or if it will turn into some museum after 100 years or so. So, well, who are those people? Well, I mean, they can be you and me. Because on that level, once you get there, power and profit and all of that doesn't matter anymore. That's not what it's about. And that's not what you desire or find importance in. In other words, you have no need to pose as being great or advanced or whatever. You can just be yourself, do your best. And partake, collaborate with others like that. Sharing insights, experiences, understandings of things with each other, while leaving it up to each other respecting our integrity, to make up our own opinions, understanding of things. And then of course naturally grouping among yourselves. Words of same feather flock together. And that's as it should be. So that's the mood we want to have here in this channel. And if that mood suits you, click on subscribe, like, if you like this. Let's get personal, let's get real. Let's work together. Let's share the good things. And if you do the same as this humble soul here, make your own channel. Invite us to your home, to your world, your understanding. And yeah, share the good things. Then we will make the world a better place. And one day it's gonna spread. Not like a virus for us, but it's a wildflower that blooms and flourishes everywhere. This flower of Bhakti, love of God and all who live. Hare Krishna.